CNL, Gospel of our Lord, according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. The crowd came together again, so that Jesus and his disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He is gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has a gazebo, and by the ruler of the demons, he has cast out demons." And he called to them and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. But his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up a strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.' Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent him to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside, asking for you.' And he replied, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Now Carol will give us a homily.
The topic I want to do in the homily today is prayer, which is trickier than you might think. So I want to start with something that we're all familiar with. I want to begin by thinking about a mother who has a young daughter, and she absolutely adores her, and she would do anything for her. You have a similar kind of effect with grandparents sometimes who dote on their grandchildren. And so you might have a conversation that would run a little bit like this. "Mommy, will you give me a really special present for my birthday this year?" "Well, yes, honey, of course, anything you want. What would you like?" Now, here is where it gets really tricky. And you can see where this is going, right? If she's very young, she might say, "I want the moon." Okay, well, that's not going to happen. Okay, besides the fact that it won't fit in her room. But she doesn't know that. She's maybe 3 years old, and she doesn't really know what she's asking for. Or she might be a little bit more down to earth and she might ask for a pony. Now it happens that she lives in a town in a little house with no yard, and obviously a pony is not going to work. The mom could get her a pony perhaps, but she wouldn't be happy with it in her room, and the pony would not be happy, and it would be just a miserable situation. Or the girl might say, if she's a little bit older, she might say something like this: "Jenny got 7 presents for her birthday. I want you to give me twice as many." Okay, now she could probably, but this is just going to encourage her to be kind of greedy and bratty. It's not going to be a good thing to grant that request. But She might be, you know, on a little bit less bad level and ask for a puppy. Okay? Kids frequently want puppies, and so the mother might say, she might be thinking to herself, well, she's too young. She doesn't know what is going to be involved in taking care of a puppy and taking it for walks and training it, feeding it. And she doesn't realize that it's pretty soon going to be a dog. Okay, which is not quite the same thing. She doesn't understand what all is involved in raising a puppy. She's asking for a perfectly good gift, but the mother might not give it to her anyway. It's not because she doesn't want to. She wants to give her kid everything she can. But there are times when you've got to say no. But in the best case, the little girl will ask for something like ballet shoes, and then the mother will be all happy. That's something she can do. That's something that can make the kid happy. Everybody will be happy. The little girl is in the unfortunate and unavoidable situation that she knows what she wants, but she doesn't know what it means to get what she wants. And that is exactly, spiritually, the place we are. Whenever we pray, we know what we want, but we don't know what it would mean if we got it. Sometimes we ask for things that would be positively dangerous to us. Like, say, you're young and single, and you're really praying, oh God, please let me marry Fred, the football player, handsome, popular, not realizing that nobody who married Fred could ever be happy. Sometimes we pray for creeps. Okay? That's just the way we are. We don't know what it means to get what we're asking for. Or sometimes we ask for things for purely selfish reasons. Please let me be richer or more popular than some other person that we're jealous of. Or we might ask for something perfectly good and reasonable, like a job that we have our eyes on, that we really, really want. We still don't know what it would mean if we got it. Perhaps we just don't have the ability to do that job and we would be miserable and a total failure. Or perhaps there's somebody else in the same office that we would be entirely unable to get along with and there would be constant conflict. Or maybe there's a better job coming along and we ought to wait for it. We don't know. These are all examples of perfectly good and legitimate reasons why God might not answer our prayers. And I'll bet that everybody here has some prayer or other that you've been praying, and maybe for a long, long time, and God has not given it to you. So what do we do? One of the things that we do is we put unnecessary burdens on ourselves. We remember that verse where Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll give it to you. And so then we start thinking, maybe he doesn't give it to me because I don't deserve it. He said, if you have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, be cast into the sea and it'll be done. And so we think, maybe I just don't have enough faith. Maybe I'm really a crummy Christian. But the reason he told us that, about faith as big as a mustard seed, is so that we would quit thinking about how much faith we have. Obviously, it's such a little amount, we've got that. Quit thinking about how much faith you have. Start thinking about the kind of faith you have. So what do we do? Well, there are a lot of options for what you can do if you're asking for something really important and you don't get it. One thing is that you can just give up. Just, okay, forget it. Now imagine in the situation of the little girl and her mom, if the little girl is so disappointed that she just says, okay, mom, you just don't love me, forget it, and walks away. What would the mother feel like? Well, you know what she would feel like. So don't do that to God. Or what we might do is to take control of the situation and make it happen. If God doesn't do it, we'll do it for him. Now, that is just the worst thing, the most insulting thing that you can do to God. Trying to manipulate him into giving you what he hasn't given. It's a very foolish thing to do. Another thing we might do is we might get louder, more insistent, more whiny. You have all experienced how unattractive it is to be around someone else's kid who is just a brat, who whines and throws a tantrum when he doesn't get what he wants. But oddly enough, being whiny with God just might do the trick. Just like as the child gets whinier and louder and more insistent, the mother might get to a point where she'll decide that she should give the kid what she's asking for, even though she knows it won't make her happy, because she needs to learn not to be a brat. God can also decide the same thing. If we're obnoxious enough and demanding enough for long enough, he might give it to us. It's not that God ever gives us anything bad, because he doesn't do that. He only gives good things. But he may give us what we want, even though we won't be happy with it when we get it. He does promise that even when we are totally spiritually bratty and whiny and get something like that that isn't really for our best interest, he will still make it produce something good. It's just that we may not be very pleased with the process. It was exactly that third kind of response, the whiny, insistent response that Israel had going for them in 1 Samuel 8, which Charlie just read for us. Asking for a king was not wrong. In Deuteronomy 17, in the law, God had specifically said you could ask for a king, and these are the rules the king will have to obey. It was perfectly okay to ask for a king. But the way they asked for a king was the problem. It wasn't what they were asking for that was bad. It was how and why they asked for it. Samuel had warned them what it would mean for them to get a king, but they didn't care. They wanted a king no matter what. And if Samuel didn't find them a king, they were going to go out and find one for themselves. God had been their only king. They didn't have a government for 300 years after they came into the promised land. And they were just tired of it. They were tired of having God to be their king. They wanted to be like the other nations. They just didn't want God in charge anymore. And so he gave them a king. And for the next 500 years, they were like the other nations. And it was not a pretty sight. They became like the other nations. And it wasn't that swell thing that they thought it would be. But of course, God made good come out of it anyway. You can't thwart his purposes. He wants good to happen, and it will happen, even if what you want is something stupid. One of that king's direct descendants, David, I mean, when they restarted after Saul, one of the king's direct descendants was the Messiah, Jesus, who became the king. But fortunately, there is a fourth and good way we can respond to unanswered prayer. We can be mature about it and not like a little kid. Mature faith means two things. First, it means that we're humble enough to remember that even at the best, we have no real idea what it would mean to get what we want. We really don't know. We are as clueless as they come. Secondly, it means that we trust God, that he really does love us, and he will never deny us anything that is good. If he's not answering our prayer, it's because it wouldn't really be good, and we don't know any better. Don't give up in what you're asking. Don't get whiny about it. Don't try to make it happen on your own. Just admit that you are really something of a fool and trust in his wisdom. That is what mature Christian faith does. Now, it's all very well to say that, but it's really hard to do. For myself, I once had an opportunity to get a tenure-track job at a college. It would have been financial security. It would have been great, or so I thought. And so I prayed that I would get it. I want that job. And the alternative to getting that job was to be unemployed. So I was really pretty serious about wanting that job. But I didn't get it. Somebody else got it, who is happily living ever after down at the college right now. Instead, what I got was 3 years of part-time work in continual hassles about not having enough money. Then I got a second chance to get a full-time job, the same situation, tenure track. So I thought, okay, I've done my time. I've worked at this part-time job, and I'm really tired of this, and I didn't get it either. Instead, I had a full year of complete unemployment with no job at all. Now, it's been 15 years since all of that stuff happened, and now I can look back on it and say, you know, it was really better that I didn't get those jobs. If I'd gotten those jobs, I would not have been happy. I got to see close up what full-time people there do, and they're in committees and going to this meeting and that meeting, and they're having to do all these things that would drive me crazy. And I would never have gotten a chance to write, which I really love to do. So it was best. It was right for God to not give me what I wanted, because in the end, he gave me what I really wanted, which is what I've got now, this opportunity to write and to create things. As that great theologian, Mick Jagger, once said, You can't always get what you want. But, he goes on to say, you get what you need, but you get a lot more than that because God has promised to fulfill the desires of your heart. When I asked for that job, I didn't know what I really wanted. I didn't know the desires of my heart. What I wanted was a paycheck. That's really what I wanted. You know, what he gave me was something better. There is a constant temptation when you're in a situation like that where God isn't giving you the thing you really, really want. It's a constant temptation to be whiny and complain. I have other things that I'm asking for now that he's not giving me either, and I know exactly how whiny I could get. It's also a constant temptation to try to take things into my own hands and make it happen. It's hard for me, and it'll be hard for you, especially if you're praying for something really critical like healing or some kind of deliverance from pain of some kind. You'll be frustrated. You'll get discouraged. You'll get depressed. And the right thing to do about it is this. Don't give up asking. Don't let yourself get whiny, though you'll want to. Don't try to make things happen like you want them to. But instead, be mature. Be grown-ups about it. Remember how big a fool you really are. And hold on to your trust in God's goodness and kindness. He promises you the desires of your heart, and he means it. Like the mother in the story, he wants to give you everything, and he will. I believe one of the most important verses in all of the Bible is in Psalm 27:14. At least it's been important to me. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. I admit, I don't like it. Sometimes I really don't like it. But that is what loving children do for their parents, and that is what mature Christians do for God. So this week, go out, be strong, be courageous, and be patient. Have expectations that God will come through. All you've got to do is wait. Should be easy. We have an excellent prayer in the prayer book that you can use to help you along. And I was thinking of ending by saying it. It's found on page 102, if I wrote the number correctly. And it has this marvelous, brilliant phrase in it that just impresses me over and over again. Near the end of the prayer, he says, this is the prayer of St. Chrysostom. And by the way, I really don't know how to pronounce that. I'm just making it up as I go. Near the end of the prayer, he says, fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions as may be best for us. As may be best for us. That is so important to remember that we don't know what is best. So I thought maybe we would say this together out loud. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplication to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, you will be in the midst of them. Fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth and in the age to come, life everlasting. Amen.